The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
It's just after midnight here in Los Angeles, and we are about to head out into some of the city's most dangerous and notorious areas for one of the world's fastest growing crime. It's late for us, but the day is really just beginning for many women and children who are about to experience a night of horrific human trafficking. Some things that we're going to show you may be difficult to see, but it's important that we look at it. You see, many of the people that we're working with from the Dream Center here in Los Angeles see this all the time because they want to be at the point of need to rescue. So come with us as we show you into a world you may not have ever known even existed. Help me understand what we're really going to see. There is a vision that people have of Sunset Strip, prostitutes on the street, but the reality is very different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the biggest misconception about this issue and the word prostitute is that people think that they're choosing it for themselves, but it's not a victimless crime. In street terms, what people call the life, these girls look like they're walking around free. Sometimes they're smiling and laughing, and sometimes they are beaten and broken. What I see when I see them walking out on the streets, I have this image of just a mental bondage to them. It's not necessarily that they're always chained up in a cage or a bathroom. Yes, those horrific things do happen, but these girls are truly enslaved to these men. They are specifically used only for a paycheck.
My dad sexually abused me, and he used to make me walk around naked around his friends. He didn't like me because I wasn't a boy to carry the name. All the guys in my life ended up being kind of like my dad because I was so desperate for that love from my dad, and I didn't know it at the time.
When did you find yourself trapped into prostitution? How did that happen?
I fell in love with this guy, and I didn't know who he was. He met me on a dating site, and he didn't look like a pimp. He looked like he went to college. I had no clue. He dropped me on my head, caused me to have a seizure, and said that now I gotta pay him back for everything he has done for me and my brats. He started in the beginning, well, if you love me, you'll do this, or if you want a house, or you want a better life for your kids, it's easy money. And if you love me, you'll do this. It was all his game.
I came from an abusive family, no love. Was in and out of group homes. My life was on the streets. At the age of 17, I was walking with a boyfriend at the time, and an older man said, "How much?" And the guy that I was with said to go with him, and that's how I was introduced to prostitution. Then through that, I was with all kinds of different pimps, got really hooked on drugs. At the age of 18, I was diagnosed with leukemia. Had a tube in and out of my neck, out my chest. was on a death mission. I didn't care. Went to the streets, left the recovery home I was in. I didn't care about my life.
So at the same time that you were on the streets being trafficked, you were dealing with leukemia and going through treatments for that.
Yes.
How were you even able to emotionally handle all of that weight on your shoulders?
When you don't care about yourself, when you know that you just want somebody to pretend that they love you, you will absolutely do anything. You will give them whatever they want. You will do anything for a drug. You will give them the money that they want just to say, I love you, baby. And that's all that you want to hear, is somebody to pretend that they love you, even you know that it's a pretend.
It was all about catching the woman in position of her vulnerability. You know, a lot of women are runaways. They have nobody that love them, care about them. You know, so when I come along, you know what I'm saying, I'm making them feel loved. I give them that attention that they're looking for, and they accept that. And in turn, you know, they give me, you know what I'm saying, what I desire. You know, which is financial need, financial support. That was a job.
Most of the girls say that they are required to make, I would say, an average of $1,000 a night. And I've seen girls out at midnight and come back through at noon the next day, and they're still out working because I just got to catch one more date. They haven't slept or eaten because they're not allowed to do either of those two things until they meet their quota.
Why don't they just stop? Why don't they just walk away? Why is it not that simple?
Well, it's not that simple because of the threats that these pimps make towards them. They get all of their identification. They know all of their information. They know where their families live. They know if they have children, and if they do have children, where their children are, and they may be threatening the children. I've seen in several different situations where the pimps will actually take their children from them and manipulate the girl into, you can't have your baby back until you make X amount of dollars, or, you know, X amount of weeks. And then once they do that, it's always something else.
You know, this has been a long educational process. Mm-hmm. For many of us. First of all, just the realization that human trafficking is real, that it's been happening. And I think for years we've been hearing that. Now, I think the education is the fact that there is something that we can do about it, that we don't have to stand by and think, what a horrible thing, mm-hmm. that we can become involved, mm-hmm. put a stop to it. Mm-hmm. It's a big problem, so obviously there's a lot that needs to be done, so it's gonna take all of us.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's four-part teaching series, The Gift of Everyday Joy, plus a pack of inspirational cards for you to share with those you love. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
We know that these human beings are being forced into the commercial sex trade. Now, this is either for children or adults, and it's more of looking for love in all the wrong places, or the psychological manipulation of being promised a better life because they don't have a family support system, or they've met the wrong person at the wrong time and then trusted that person. And by the time they realize it, they've got caught up into a game that it's tough to get out of. It's certainly very dangerous and can be very physically violent to get out of.
I think what has made our outreach efforts so successful, there's just two of us that go out on a regular basis, both females, and we are as consistent as possible. So we know that the girls have to be out here every night, and so we go out as often as we can. Like I said, we're entering into the track area. That the pimps will put their girls out on this residential street right here.
So these girls right here to the side.
Mm-hmm. But here's a girl right here. The girls work in parking lots out here for places that are open that may have a drive-through. And that way the Johns can circle and act like they're just going through a drive-through.
Society is vicious. And you got guys on the prowl like me, you know what I'm saying? I was like the enemy, like a roaring lion seeking to whom I may devour.
Well, tell me about these packages that you give. So you hand these out the window.
Yeah, we get in line with the Johns, and we pull up to the girls just like they would, and we offer them a gift. We know that everything that we give them is disposable because they don't want their pimp to see it. There's usually something to drink and a small piece of candy, feminine wipes, a lip gloss, hand sanitizer, sometimes tissues or mints. You know, they're not used to people, like, loving on them or caring enough about them to give them something that shows them a little bit of respect and dignity. The police are out tonight. See the lights out here?
Yeah, so there's police up ahead of us.
So there's police up ahead of us, which means that, you know, they're just out here prohibiting the girls from even working. We work very closely with LAPD and the Human Trafficking Unit. We work with Homeland Security as well as the FBI. We've done a lot to build trusting relationships with them as well. And so we've gone in and done operations inside of motels. We've done operations out on the streets.
So it looks like there's a couple of girls there perhaps being arrested.
Yeah. They know when we give them the gifts that the number that we're giving them rings directly to our cell phone. We answer that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We personalize it. You're not calling a hotline, you're calling us. So when they call, one of the first things we do is ask them, are you safe right now? And if they're not, then we try to find out what's around so that we can get you in a place that is a little bit safer.
When we identify a potential human trafficking victim, first thing is to try to find a safe place for them. If they can get past that first 48 or 72 hours, there's more of an increase of possibility for them coming out of the life.
And how does that work with the Dream Center being involved in that rescue?
I mean, it's huge. It gives the law enforcement officers, the police officers, the opportunities to actually deal with the case. And because our primary responsibility is to identify the pimp. Now, that does not mean that if our victim chooses not to cooperate with law enforcement, you know, she still doesn't get the resources, because she will. Now, at the time when we rescue her and we reach out to the caseworkers 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we have never ever called and they've not shown up. And once we're able to do that, you know, we have, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
My mom told me about this place here that I should call. And so I called. They made arrangements to come get me, but I had to make arrangements for myself because I couldn't just pack up my stuff and leave because he had that much control over me. I mean, I really thought he was gonna kill me. I really thought my kids would have to bury me.
What happened when they showed up?
I started running and his partner was watching over me and he was like, where are you going? And I just kept running and there was like a speed bump and she flew over the speed bump to get to me. As soon as I got in the car, I called my mom for the last time and I'm like, Mom, I'm safe. And she was so happy to hear that I was safe. The minute I got in the car, I felt peace because God answered my prayers.
This is sometimes the first time that someone that they didn't know has shown some concern and some love and trying to provide them some comfort to get them out of the life.
Things as simple as, are you hungry? What do you need? Those types of things are vital, aren't they?
Yeah, sometimes we'll rescue somebody at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the pimp's concern is not this person's well-being, that person eating. For them, it's all about making money.
back then, no. You know, I cared nothing about them, you know, except for the money that I was going to receive at the end of the night.
There's been numerous times where we've asked them when was the last time they couldn't remember. Asked them when was the last time that they had a sexual encounter with a stranger. It was about an hour ago. I said, Louis, listen, well, let's go get something to eat, find you a safe place, you know, to sleep, to rest, and we'll talk to you in the morning, you know, because they're tired. Treat them like human beings.
Are there enough places like this?
And there's just not enough. It's just Dream Center just happens to be, when we call them, they're always there, and that's always our first rescue option. And they can only hold so many.
Well, it's about 3:30 a.m. now, and we've seen a lot this evening already. We've seen a lot of young women out cold on the streets, chained to situations. Chains that you maybe can't see, but chains that are very, very real. And we've also seen the opportunities that God is giving us to make a difference in their lives. We want to invite you to help us reach these women, to help us change their lives, and to help us do that very same thing for people in other very difficult situations all over the world. And your special gift right now will do so much to change their lives and to share Christ with them. So we thank you for your heart for Christ and your heart for people. We invite you to go to our website, joycemeyer.org, and make a gift. We invite you to pick up that phone right now and call. But don't just sit there and do nothing. If God is speaking to your heart, if you've seen something or heard something today that has shocked you, know that shock is not enough. We need to respond. So we thank you for sending us here, and we thank you for being a part of Change Lives.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's four-part teaching series, The Gift of Everyday Joy, plus a pack of inspirational cards for you to share with those you love. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
What were the first things that you wanted to do once you got away from this situation?
I wanted my kids back.
Tell me what that moment was like when you had your children back.
I couldn't stop crying. I built that bridge with God to get to my children. I love every opportunity, every breath they take, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I love every minute.
So let's talk then about the stages of help that you're able to give. The first one being the process that's beginning tonight of rescue. After that comes what?
After that, we have an emergency shelter. It's actually the only emergency shelter specific to traffic victims in California that we're aware of. We set it up as a place of refuge and safety for girls to give them the opportunity to make an informed decision for themselves on where they want to go and what they want their next steps to be. They love having a safe, comfy, cute little place, you know, to go and sleep and eat and get a shower and get some fresh, clean clothes and really have people that are just there to love on them and to be one-on-one with them.
Did you know anything about the Dream Center or Project Hope?
I knew it was a Christian program. They loved on me until I could like myself. That's where my refining started coming. Tear down the old, build the new. It's where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's where my self-esteem started getting building up, where I could like myself. It's where my life began, and it's because of the Dream Center.
Joyce's own personal story encouraged you?
It did. A whole lot, what she went through, and I wrote her. So that's like, she inspired me more than she can imagine.
I just read your sweet letter. That was so nice of you to write
you.
That. Hi. I love that beautiful red hair.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, girls.
Good to meet you. You helped us a lot. Your word was constantly around us all the time. We were watching your videos, doing Battlefield on the Mine.
That's awesome.
You helped us more than you know.
Well, it's the word that really helps us, but I'm grateful that God's called me to teach the word and that I get to share that with people. It really is phenomenal how powerful God's word is, just to get that truth into your life. And you know, another thing that's just so important for people that have been hurt is one of the things the enemy tries to do is devalue you and minimize you and make you feel like that you're nothing. I think if you just remember that God loves you and that you're his and he's never going to give up on you, so if you don't give up on him, everything's going to be good.
So once they've been removed from the lifestyle, they've made the choices of what the next steps are from them, you begin to help them rebuild a life.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
The first 30 days is the rebuild phase where we give them their identification back. We get their ID and their social security card and their birth certificate. And those things have been removed from them. And for them to be able to hold that in their hand is a really big deal. So we make sure that they get a mental evaluation, a medical evaluation, a women's exam, STD testing and that sort of thing. Then they're usually ready to transition into our second phase. They go through a series of classes and courses, some of which is Joyce's Battlefield of the Mind. We provide all of our services for free to them, provide housing and clothing and all of their classes and all of their therapy.
Let's talk about how we're able to provide that for free. So it's a privilege for us to be able to work with you, for Joyce Meyer Ministries, to work with the Dream Center, for our partners who financially and prayerfully support us to be involved. It takes all of us.
Yeah, and as the body of Christ comes together and you know, gives generously, like the Bible calls us to, then you know, we can make freedom possible for these girls.
Today, I know there's a whole team who's behind me, who loves me, and who would be there for me in a heartbeat. I don't need a man to tell me that they love me because I know that God completes me.
You actually had the mark that a man put on your body, that you were his property.
Yeah, I did. I had a pimp's name on my thigh tattooed. I thought that every day I saw it that he owned me. No man owns you. You belong to God. And I am getting my tattoo covered up into actually a beautiful rose and a butterfly. The rose is because I am blossoming and into a beautiful woman. And I am a beautiful woman.
Your necklace that you're wearing has a butterfly on it right now.
Yes.
Another reminder for you?
Yeah, it says, fear not, and without change, there would be no butterflies.
What do you want to do with this life that he's blessed you with?
My desire is to work with homeless people. That's my passion, to help people on the street.
You have a compassion for them?
I do, because people have had compassion on me, and you have to give it back to them.
Well, we are nearing the end of our journey here in Los Angeles, but the fight continues here every day. It is a blessing to know that through partnership with the Dream Center here in Los Angeles, we are continually making an impact, dragging women out of this situation and shining light into the darkness. In fact, just a couple minutes ago behind us, we saw a situation where a young woman got out of her car while her pimp was waiting, sent her off to her date, and he waited and watched. Can you imagine that? Just being watched at all times, being forced into a situation like this. We need to realize that God is calling us to do something about it. God is calling you to do something about it right now. And we're seeing that happen, and we're so grateful that you are part of the solution. You're no longer in the dark to the problem. You know what's happening. And the light of Christ is alive in you. So we need to all be responsible to share that light with the world around us. So we just say thank you for allowing us to make an impact on lives that will never be the same.
I found myself outside on the street, standing up under the light. I just called out to God, and I asked him to change things in my life. Make me who you want me to be. And here I am. I'm no longer the bad guy. You know, I just want to give back when I can. I want to be supportive of the mission here at the Dream Center, trying to get those young ladies off and out the street. I love my wife, I love my family, but first off and foremost, I love the Lord, you know. And I know if I stay with him and follow him, then I'll be protected, my family, and everything will go according to his will.
Well, let's stand together and as a team, shine the light into the darkest places of the world. Let's be involved in rescuing victims of human sex trafficking, a very despicable thing. But we can help people, we can bring light into their darkness as we work together. So I'm asking you today, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I come boldly and I'm asking you if you will send a very generous, heartfelt, faith-filled financial gift today to help us continue to reach out to hurting people like this all over the world. And guess what? There's a promise for you too. Whatever you give, it will come back to you multiplied many times over, and I believe with an increase of joy. God bless you, and thank you so much for your obedient action.
When you give a special gift to Joyce Meyer Ministries towards our missions outreach, Hand of Hope, you're doing more than just providing physical needs. You're spreading the love of Christ across the U.S. and to the most remote parts of the world. For your donation of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's four-part teaching series, The Gift of Everyday Joy, plus a pack of inspirational cards for you to share with those you love. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.